post-show recaps. That's right. We Got Y'all crew is back again with even more of the content that you crave about the hit FX show that launched 1,000 careers and 1,000 questions. About this episode, we have Atlanta Season 3, Episode 8, entitled New Jazz. Mari is out this week, but as you can tell, I am back. It's very good to be back. I missed all of you. And the person that I missed the most from our little trio who signed in for me while I was out, Chappelle is here. Chappelle,
you missed me more than Mari? Hold on. You missed me more than Mari? Go on record and say it again. Say it again so when she hears this, she knows where her loyalty should lie.
Honestly, this would be the one time that I've ever said something like that. Chappelle will tell you that you're typically number one on the list. And then he's like a close number two.
The agenda. No, seriously, I'm so happy to have you back. And honestly, I know Mari is not able to be with us this week. She's recovering from some stuff. But like, yeah, I think this is the perfect time to meet me just for the subject, you know, matter of this. You know, so you can miss me here more than Mari. Mari will be back to talk about more important matters. And then we can all go back to like having her number one in our rankings.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're number one of the other people here.
Exactly.
So we're going to talk about New Jazz. Just initial, like off the top of your head thoughts. If you had to describe this episode in four words, what would they be?
Oh God, four words, Latonya. Jeez.
I know. I'm coming in hot.
I know, right? Like you took a break and now you're just like hitting me like pow, pow, pow. Okay. Four words. I'm really bad at math, so this is probably one of those things. Okay.
Four to ten words.
Gotcha. Look, I don't even know. Those are my four words. And the reason why I want to go with that is because like we've gotten so used to the way that the show has been presenting our characters in these kind of like, oh, we'll have like a storyline episode that has the main cast in them with maybe Zazie Beetz, depending on what day it is. And then you'll have like another episode that's completely off the, you know, off topic, has nothing to do with the main cast, and none of the main cast is in it. But this was almost like a mixture of both because I don't think anything in this episode moved the plot forward. There's like maybe one thing I can point to. But had you switched out all these characters with everybody else, it wouldn't have changed the episode at all. Like you could have just made these like five random people and it still would have worked. So I'm not quite sure what to say about this episode. I mean, I don't even know. Those are my four words.
Yeah. I think I don't even know sums it up pretty well for me too. There are some people who make appearances in this episode. We'll get to it. Where I'm just like, is this actually happening? Or, you know, they'll call Lizzo white, which just I hate when people level that criticism against pop music.
Especially because I mean Lizzo be rapping too, you know. Like pop music / rapper coming from a rapper to call Lizzo, it's a whole thing. I'm sure we'll get to it.
Yeah, we'll get to it. So let's just start at the beginning. We open on a coffee shop where Paperboy and Darius are sitting. They've just had a beverage or whatever. And then Earn walks in. But before this happens, there's kind of something that we'll see happen again during this episode where Darius and Paperboy go back and forth about who's going to pay. And ultimately, Paperboy just pays. And then only after he has paid does Darius offer to go splitsies. So this is gonna be a theme, I think, for this episode of essentially, can you trust the people around you? Do you know where your money is, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I wonder, I wonder how long this has been on Paperboy's mind, because you know, we like people who come from like backgrounds where you don't have a lot of money, when you get money, sometimes you do feel pressured to make sure that the people around you are not still, you know, that they don't want for anything. Exactly. I think with me, like if I have it, you have it, is the kind of mentality a lot of us that I know of have. You know, now some people are very selfish about the way they things, or even not, I don't want to say selfish because that makes it sound negative, but some people are more self-aware about the money that they're spending and how they attribute that to the other people around them. But I can honestly say, like, with me and my friends, like, it doesn't matter who pays. Like, I'm sure you'll get me back in some other way, you know, like, it's right. like a trust thing. But when you make so much more money than your friends, like,
yeah,
I mean, Paperboy is pretty much the lone breadwinner in this threesome, trio, you know. But it's just like, but it's very weird because it's like, yeah, would you want Darius, who doesn't really have a job, to pay for this? Or do you want Paperboy to just handle it? Because he's probably not going to feel it like Darius would, or right. earn even. And so, yeah, I like that they pointed that out, but I didn't know it would be such a big theme of this episode.
Yeah. There are a couple things that happened very early on that I'll talk about the goofy thing in a second that I was able to point to. So this, for me, I will say that this episode, was a lot more on the horror side. That's something I've been noticing this season, is that there are more horror movie elements that are being brought in. So it's more like black horror than I think anything we've seen in a while on this show. But kind of, you know, that's not what the show is set out to do, essentially. It's kind of a comedy. What do you think of it, of a show like Atlanta kind of exploring its roots in horror?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we've been asking this question throughout the season. I've seen people talking about it on the internet, like, what exactly is the show? From the first episode, people have been saying, is this even funny anymore? You know, with some of the racial content that's going on, and, like, you know, the information about that we talked about with Lake Lanier, and, you know, some of these other episodes about reparations and things of that nature. It's like, it's funny, but is it a comedy? And then people like dark comedy, people made up racial comedy, you know, like, there's a lot of things that this show is, and I could point to a lot of it being horror. Yeah. This episode didn't feel as much like horror though to me as others. Like, I have been, like, legitimately, like, Teddy Perkins was scary, you know. Like, that's, and the true, episode, and I think the episode where Paperboy is, like, lost in the woods is pretty scary too, you know. So yeah, like, this one I kind of felt like, I don't know. I really don't even know what they're going for.
Yeah, that episode where Paperboy gets lost in the woods, we'll talk about a little bit later, because it very much has, like, that a parallel to this episode, just in terms of, we kind of start at the beginning, we see Darius and Erna around, but then it crystallizes the story down to Paperboy. So just to get back to the plot points, Ern asks if they're going to still be doing that thing that he's not supposed to know about. And then they say, yeah, he gives them a couple spa passes. And then it's kind of off. We think that this might be a two-hander episode, right? Where Paperboy and Darius head off to go find some Nepalese space cake. They're in Amsterdam right now. And Nepalese space cake is supposed to be a mixture of weed mixed with Nepalese hallucinogenic honey. And Darius found it on Reddit, and he thinks that it's going to be something that's pretty legit to do. Nepalese space cake. Have you heard of this before?
No. See, as you know, you and I both, we don't partake in any of these activities. So
exactly.
We wouldn't be the experts, but if I was...
I mean, as an educator, you know, right. You have young people coming to you all the time.
Exactly. And so I hear things. I, too, read Reddit, you know, and so I've heard of certain things, but this particular treat is not something that I have any insight into. But I am familiar, like I said, through my research of other treats that might be similar to this one.
Right. Research. Essentially, the guy who works at the coffee shop that sells spiritual expanding apparatuses, or drugs, as as the rest of us call them, were a little bit concerned when they see Paperboy and kind of ask him, and, like, say, you know, hey, he looks like, pointing to Darius, he's been here before, but you look like you might be new to this. Do you think that maybe you should stop now? And he was just like, no, go ahead. And so the guy hands him two cups of coffee with two of these, like, cookies. And they sit there for a second. They apparently let the cookie get warm from the coffee. These are all just like tips, like, you know, various tips that people would learn from researching Reddit.
Exactly.
and then, you know, they kind of let it go to work. So I will say that one thing that I glossed over was the first time we see someone in one of these goofy hats, and we see him as Darius and Paperboy are walking down the street, and the guy in the goofy hat is just kind of like, he looks like he might be in distress. You know, he's maybe crying or something is happening over there, but you can't really see what that is. Did you think when you saw this that this was going to get called back later in the episode?
No, I thought it was more like maybe like foreshadowing for like what they were talking about. Because before we saw him, we really didn't know what they were about to do. They were kind of alluding to, oh, well, you might want to go to a spa when it happens, or this is going to be a good trip that we're going on. But they never talk about exactly what it was. And so the suspense was killing me at that point. Because you kind of glance over and see somebody, I'm like, oh, are they going to do something that's going to make them end up like this? But I didn't think we would ever see this person again. No, it's not something that I foresaw. But yeah, I noticed it and then I forgot about it. And then by the end, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those like cinematic things that you can clock fairly easily if you're like just spotting for tropes. But ultimately, this show tends to break a lot more tropes than it does engender them. So you'd be like, okay with thinking that like, this is just a random person they're showing. Not that it would come back to mean anything in the plot. For the second time in this episode, also, Darius lets Paperboy pay for the coffee and the Nepalese space cake. So we're starting as an audience to be able to see what that buildup is like of even more tension, like you mentioned earlier.
Yeah. Well, Latonya, I do like Darius. First of all, I always really feel really connected to Darius in a way. Yeah. The more I watch the show, I'm like, am I the Darius of my family?
I know.
Right.
I feel the same way.
Is he me? And yeah, because when he's like, he doesn't have enough money to buy the space cake, he's like, I'm just going to let fate decide what happens.
I'm just going to let fate decide what happens.
I'm telling you, I did that the other day. I was going to get on the plane, and my suitcase was like 2 pounds over the given weight or whatever it's supposed to be. And
ridiculous.
Yeah, and they're like, well, it'll be $75 to pay for another suitcase. Excuse me? And so I just kind of stood there with like this blank look on my face thinking of like 2 pounds, I'm paying $75. And the man says, okay, brother, I'll help you out. And I was like, woo!
Like, if you just stay still, you know?
I slipped him a $5 bill and saved 70. So, yeah. Woo, sometimes you just got to let fate or your rich homeboy who is a rapper step in to help you out.
That's true. And we know which one Darius is leaning on. So they start off on their little journey. They're heading to the spa. Darius tells Paperboy, no matter what happens, just know that I love you very much, which is very sweet. But I couldn't help but like feeling that this was like some type of weird foreshadowing for something that was going to happen in the future. And thankfully, like nothing happened on Darius's end. We didn't really get to see where he went. Would you be interested in seeing where Darius went on this?
I would love to know what happened to Darius on this episode, because we only have like one or two more scenes with Darius and then he's gone. But Latonya, I have friends like that who would be like, you know what? I love you. And I'm just staring at them like, are you okay? And so when he said that, me and Paperboy probably both rolled our eyes at the exact same time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fine. Okay. Can we eat the cookie now?
I mean, yes. but I don't know. I thought it was cute.
Yeah. Look, most people do. I'm saying I'm broken, not you.
Okay. Got it. Darius has also taken the time to preload iPod minis with songs that, you know, they can use to enhance their sensorial experience. So he's just very thoughtful, this one.
He is, but an iPod mini is something that you don't come across in 2022. What, like, when was this? Like I watched Paperboy, I was like, are those wired earbuds? Like, no disrespect.
You can imagine that someone who's really into music would find a way to get the headphones that they liked but also at the same time have technology that they liked from before that still works.
Right. It's like those people in the early 2000s who carried around a cassette tape, ironically, like the hipsters. It's like in the and like or the people in the later 2000s who like everybody has like a record store, even though it has like a USB port and Wi-Fi, like Bluetooth and all this other stuff.
You have to have a vinyl store. Like what exactly. Are you doing?
Like, and so it's like, okay, I guess, but also, what is that? What's happening? I like that was one of those like moments where I just had to take a pause and be like, you know what? Maybe I'm not Darius.
No, there's no way that you would have curated that experience for someone that way.
Not like that. It would have been trap music. It wouldn't have been as ethereal as Darius's music, because I went and downloaded one of those songs instantly.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. The Flower Called Nowhere that Paperboy is listening to by Stereolab. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, no, Stereolab is good.
Oh, yeah. You're familiar?
I only know the things that would have been most on the radio. I'll be honest. When it comes to music, I have like broad but kind of superficial taste. So if I catch something playing a lot on the radio, then I will probably fall in love with it at some point.
This was my introduction to Stereolab. I had never heard of them before. And so I was like, oh, yeah, this is going to be good. So I might check out more of their music later on. Thanks to Darius and this iPod Nano.
There we go. He's just really there for us. You know, he's the audience's character.
He really is.
So they pass a couple more people in goofy hats, seeing the tourists that Darius had referred to earlier. I didn't know, does Goofy have any other kind of significance just in terms of characters that came out a long time ago?
I mean, aside from like his namesake being that he's like a doofus, you know, like Goofy is the Goofy character, right? They call him Goofy for a reason. And maybe that's what they're getting at, because like, you know, Mickey Mouse ears were right there. Right. But to pick Goofy, maybe you're signifying that something, you know, silly, or, you know, maybe we're making fun of something. Because that's all I could get at. I was like, would I wear a Goofy hat? Probably, ironically, but not like I wouldn't want anybody to call me a Goofy.
I thought it was because of the possibility of, I just thought it could be a possible reference to minstrelsy, because like all of the Disney characters.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that they're dressed, like, are intentionally nods toward some form of minstrelsy. So I just want, like, you know, that popped into my head when I was watching it, and I was just like, okay, let's keep this in mind for the rest of the episode.
No, that's a good point. I wonder if it does have anything to do with it, but I do have a question about Goofy, LaTanya, and this is a very controversial question. Is Goofy a dog or a cow? Because I'm pretty sure Goofy is a cow.
I've literally never heard anyone say cow.
I mean, Pluto is a dog, and he lives in a doghouse, and he walks on four legs.
Is Goofy a cow? That's wild.
Nobody is. We are getting 1-star reviews right now.
Please come and listen to our podcast as we throw out theories and then furiously Google them.
Listen, I'm just saying, Goofy is not a dog.
Goofy's a dog.
He might not be a cow, but he's definitely not a dog.
He's an anthropomorphic dog,
right? So, which means
takes
not
all
dog.
Of the normal stuff out of the way.
Yeah, it says it's a dog because we say it is, but not that he has any dog-like features.
No, that's true. Oh, that was terrifying for a second. Okay, back to it. Paperboy stops because he sees Darius stop. And Darius is just kind of standing at this rat dying on the street. I don't know. I don't know what this was about. I don't want to see it again on my television, though. I know that.
Yeah. It was like Paperboy was walking, kind of feeling the vibes, looking around, noticing stuff, kind of zoning out, letting the cookie do the cookie things. Yeah. And then the dying rat, like, oh, God. So, it, you know, for anybody who's ever experienced something like this, that, like, from what I've read, you have those moments of, like, lucidity where you're like, oh, shoot, and then you're like, oh, God. And then you start to panic, and then you go back into it again. From what I read.
Yeah. From what you read. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it Paperboy also tells Darius he doesn't really want to be walking around because he is easily recognizable. Mm-hmm. He's even got this great Chanel hat on that I liked. I'm not sure what was going on with Lorraine, but I guess I understand why Lorraine wouldn't like it in the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he was basically just, they're both in the red light district without security. So Paperboy stands there as he sees a woman take a picture of him. Then he's quickly recognized by just a group of evil, loud boys who have decided that they're going to run after him. So Paperboy hides, and instead of finding out where he is, they just take a woman's baby out of the stroller and start throwing it around.
They Issa Rae'd that baby so fast. All I thought back was that Yeetus the fetus, when they threw that baby, Issa just tosses Condola's baby. Yeah. This was weird. I was like, why are the Euro thugs following Paperboy? And why are they picking on him about his hat? You know, they fancy a pick and all this other stuff. I was like, okay, there's a lot going on. And I start to wonder, is this really happening? Because why are y'all like playing football with someone's child?
Yeah. No, it couldn't have been really happening.
Yeah, Latanya, at what point did you know that the trip had started?
The quick jump scare to a rat. You're
like, we're here. Yeah, we're here. Yeah, it seems like that's the consensus for Paperboy as well. He was like, oh yeah, it's happening.
Yeah, it's definitely happening. So he's hiding, Paperboy's hiding, and he hears a woman and turns around. He hears someone sobbing. He turns around and he finds this woman on the ground and asks her, who's asking for help and crying, and asks her if she's okay. It takes him a while to realize that he just walked into a performance space. So he's just it took a while for me to realize he walked into a performance space too. But he's just interrupting this performance. So he goes on through to the museum, like art gallery. And Darius is just gone at this point of the episode. But he meets a woman who asks him if he needs a friend, like a real friend who would have told them that Chanel is apparently only for women, which isn't true.
Right. Again, like once you realize that the trip has started, you're like, okay, what is she trying to portray to him? Because right now she's just bullying him. She's like, you're wearing your stupid girl's hat. You look so dumb. It's like, leave him alone. Yeah. This man is clearly struggling right now.
Let him wear his hat. You're just making fun of him.
Yeah, it was bothering her that the hat was up. I think it was a nice hat. I mean, personally, I wouldn't wear the hat, but it was—it looked good on someone.
Yeah, I thought it looked good on him. I thought it was a good hat. Mm-hmm. So she says that art is a racket, and she only comes to museums to read people. She says everyone is no one, but ask if he's nobody to everyone. And that's, you know. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty effective way to just like confuse someone and just get them really into their feelings very quickly.
Right. That's one. That's like the poster child for the thoughts you have when you're under the influence of these substances. Like, am I nobody to someone? Mm-hmm. Or is everybody somebody to nobody? Am I somebody?
Trying to be everything to everyone.
Right. It's like, I am somebody. Am I? Right. So that's what I was like, oh gosh, he's in the trenches.
He's really doing the work now.
Right. Right. Like you're in there deep, man. You got to come out of there. But yeah, this was the start of a long day for Paperboy.
Yeah. So this woman's name is Lorraine. She says she knows that he's a rapper. She hates rappers mostly because of the way that they don't say the P word soft enough. Which, when we get where this is going, I'm like, why is this one of the things you had this character say?
That's a good question. Because, like, we've never known Paperboy to be, you know, hypersensitive to that kind of language. I mean, we do know that he doesn't love rappers. You know, he always says that he's not he wasn't a rapper. He's a guy who started rapping so that he could make money, you know. Mm-hmm. But like this specific thing about being a rapper that bothers Lorraine, I was like,
yeah, does that really bother you, Lorraine?
Right.
And also, why would you tell him that?
Right.
If Lorraine is really supposed to be his mother, which is what the end of the episode tells us.
Spoiler
I
alert.
Just don't understand why. You know, you've watched the episode. If you're here. I don't understand why you would ask your son that question, you know?
Well, you know, moms have sensitive ears, or at least pretend to.
Yeah.
They're like, why do you use that language? My mom asks me all the time why I say the N-word so much. And I'm like, because you say it to me? But it's like, she's like, you don't have to talk like that. You're educated. Excuse. Yeah, I'm like, you're educated. You, how do you talk like that? You could say this another way. So maybe that's what that was, because I too don't understand why that one word was the thing that set them off. But again, moms are weird like that.
Yeah. She goes on to say that rappers don't have any clue who they are or where their money is or what's happening with their money. And then asks him, like, again, puts him in his place and like, do you even know who owns your masters? And he's like, what are you talking about? And she goes, you know, the thing that makes you the most valuable in music is owning your masters. So for him to not even know the answer to that question at this point, we're very deep into the trip.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, this is a conversation that for the uninitiated, like, Black artists have been going through this for years, decades. Probably centuries, right? Like since the dawn of time, like Black musicians have been getting taken advantage of by like the recording companies and things of that nature, because they will get in contracts that potentially will allow them to change their living situation, right? Like you go from being somebody with no money, and I say I'm going to offer you a large amount of money and also make you a very famous person, but like I'm going to be in control of the large sum, I'm going to give you a portion of that and you don't have to worry about anything. And a lot of artists will take that thinking that they're fine. But you find out later on that a lot of these artists that you would think would be really, really wealthy, these hugely successful acts, they're very much broke because they did not have in their contract, you know, possession of or the rights to their own masters. I think of TLC when I think of this all the time. Like TLC was like the most successful record, like women group of all time when they were at the top of their game and they were winning Grammy. I mean, Waterfalls was like the biggest hit ever.
Yeah.
And they were driving around in Toyota RAV4s, you know, while like Pebbles is like laughing her way to the bank. You know, like it's very weird that this happened so often. But now in 2022, a lot of them are more educated. There's ways to find that information, but then you get taken advantage of by other people at that point. So
yeah, by your family a lot of the time.
Right. So this is a real insecurity for many rappers. And so I'm not surprised that it came up in this conversation.
Yeah, for sure. Lorraine says the hat is making him stand out too much. So she brings him a goofy hat. We're starting to see the transformation begin. And then they walk outside and so all of a sudden it's nighttime. So we had seen him go in the daylight hours and he comes out of wherever this art gallery was at night. Lorraine then takes Paperboy to meet some of her friends at a place that she says is very exclusive. It's called the Cancel Club. And she introduces him as New Jazz. What do you think about the name?
I don't know what to think about the name because, like, for one, in my head, I'm kind of thinking, like, from Paperboy's perspective, right? Like, what is he thinking when Lorraine introduces him as this? And I know, like, he has no clue what Lorraine means. Like, he's asking, like, what are you talking about? What's going on? But, like, New Jazz is, like, what is it? Like, a musical genre where it's, like, where Black roots were, like, were taken and then like kind of like pushed away. Like we all know like Black people created jazz. This is the thing that happened. But like it's kind of like almost like calling him an appropriation. At least that's what I got, you know, from it. Like it's like you had regular Black jazz, which was like very Black, and then you got New Jazz, which is like You know, it's like when smooth jazz went a little bit too far. So like when Kenny G was like, no, there were no black people before me. but I'm not familiar with new jazz as a contemporary like music genre. So I don't even know if this is a real thing or if they made it up.
Yeah, I've heard people say before that rap is the new jazz, just in terms of initial impact that it had on a certain population to then being immediately taken over by, you know, like white culture superimposing itself onto rap. So I didn't look up whether or not new jazz is an actual genre. I just kind of thought of it in terms of
rap.
Yeah, in terms of rap. And so, yeah. So they all sit down to order drinks.
Oh, I'm sorry, Latonya. Yes. Do you think, if you put it in that terms, she's basically shading him again, right? She's saying this is new jazz. He's basically like, he's basically a tool, right? Like he is being used like by like everybody else. He doesn't even know who owns his masters. So he's basically being, you know, like manipulated and bribed out of his money, just like the people before him. So I think that is a good shout. To call him new jazz is basically saying like, no, this. He's just, it's happened before and it's happening right now. And that's what I'm going to call him.
Remember when La La Land happened?
Oh my God. Remember when La La Land happened? I really liked La La Land. I was on a plane.
You have to whisper that.
Yeah.
It's a great plane movie. You're right.
It is a great plane movie. You could go nowhere. There's nothing else to watch. You know, it was fine.
Yeah. It's a great plane movie. It just really just makes you think about.
Yeah,
Ryan Gosling wanting to save jazz.
Right, very very plain movie.
Yeah,
white, some would say.
Yeah, the newest.
And by white, I meant vanilla. I meant vanilla. Yeah. You know,
like just a flavor. Little vanilla.
Yeah, just a bit.
So yeah, Lorraine kind of instantly disappears, and. Essentially, Paperboy is there having a conversation with Lorraine's friends. They call her apartment 106 and Park because of all of the rappers that have been off and on those couches, I guess.
Yeah, that's kind of gross.
That is a ridiculous way to describe someone that you know.
That is so mean. Like, why would you say
really
that?
Mean.
I mean... I'm sure there are meaner things like Rap City, the basement would have been a horrible one. Hits from the streets. Like I'm sure.
Hits from Park the streets.
106 and Park was clever, but don't get me wrong. We could have done more.
You haven't heard Hits from the streets.
Look, Latonya, did you catch the drink orders that they had when they were sitting around talking?
Oh, I did. I know that a white Hennessy is a Chris Evans now.
Did you know Chris Evans also knows that?
Does he?
He tweeted it out. He retweeted out the clip and was like, look, it's me.
That's really funny. Oh, okay. That's actually very funny.
Yeah.
So Paperboy gets tired of dealing with Lorraine's friends and he goes to call an iconic thing to say. He's going to go get a pre-drink drink. Ooh. I love it. It just sounds so great.
My energy.
And so, and so then this scene happens. So, and why are we doing this? I hate it here, news. He goes to the bar and he ends up sitting next to Liam Neeson, of all people. For those of you all who might not know, I've like referenced this in other podcasts about why I'm like not excited when Liam Neeson movies come out anymore. But yeah, so in real life, not in a movie, but in real life, Liam Neeson was told by one of his friends that she was raped and that a black man had done it. And so angry at the black race, Liam Neeson decided that he was going to go and find a quote unquote black bastard and kill him. Like he was just randomly looking around on the streets of London at black men because he was fantasizing about killing them in retribution for what one black man had done to his friend. And so then when he said that, everyone was like, what? No. No, you can't say that. Everybody except Atlanta, apparently.
Yeah. I have a lot to say.
Yeah, please. Please go okay. off, King.
Let's talk. Okay, so recently there was an event where Will Smith did a thing, and then people started to call for him to be removed from the Academy and his award taken from him, like, just random punishments for this thing he did to another person. And I tweeted out, remember that time Liam Neeson said that he would just wander the streets looking for a black person to assault? Since we're moving people from the Academy, like, right. I would like to make a nomination. And there were many responses, but some of the things people said was like, well, he actually never found somebody. He never actually did it. So it's not bad. Like, it's not as bad. Like, yes, he's apologized and he didn't actually go through it. But from my point of view, Liam Neeson was saying, had the opportunity arose, he would have done it.
Yeah.
And just the fact that, like, as a black man, I have to know that people just wake up one day and decide that I'm the target because I have the same skin tone as somebody else because of transgressions that happened before me. Like, what if I looked at white people like that? Like, I don't even know where my mama and them grannies is from, you know, like, because of slavery and stuff. Like, I just can't wake up one day and say, I'm going to kill a white person today. And then years later be like, remember that time I was like hunting white people? Yeah. Like, isn't it cool that I actually was not successful? And people be like, oh, Chappelle, you're so wild.
Right.
Like, let's watch Taken 4. You know, like, no. So for me, I feel the same way. And I also have a tiny complaint about Donald Glover and his usage of Liam Neeson here.
Please.
Because some I'm of sure us don't. Yeah. Some of us don't want to see him.
Sure, it's the same. Right, I don't want to see him.
Right. But also, he did the same thing with Chet Hanks last week. Mario and I talked about it. And it's kind of like, He's utilizing people who are quote unquote canceled for disrespecting black people in a way, or for lack of a better term, basically just transgressions against black people, and using them as almost to parody themselves, which is a choice because you could just pick a different actor. You could just make parody that person. Like, why do you have to give that person a platform? Why do you have to give that person more appearances when we don't want to see them because of the way that they act toward us? So yeah, this cameo I was not a fan of. I was okay-ish with the Chet Hanks appearance because he never really wanted to hurt anybody. He was just being super ignorant all the time. But Liam Neeson
also is not okay. Like, that's not what our entertainment needs to be.
Exactly. Like he was not violent. And Liam Neeson was very much said, I was a violent person toward an entire race of people. And that right there, I'm like, I just can't forgive that, because you could have. And honestly, we don't know if he did, you know, like he's saying like, "Woo, there was this thing that happened one time and I really wanted to kill a black person. But luckily, woo, I didn't kill him.
I didn't do it.
Right.
Give me the money."
But that story could have easily been like, yeah, I did it and nobody found out. And here I am bragging about it and I'm going to take it. You know, and so I don't like it. I'm not a fan. This is probably the weakest thing that has happened on the season for me. On the series. No, not on the series, but on the season for sure.
No, yeah, this season. There have been some things that have happened in the past seasons that I've been like, what?
Right, exactly.
But yeah, this really did not rub me the right way. I just was not happy to see him on my screen, especially in this show. Like, you know, black shows are my happy place that I go to try to escape ridiculous people.
Even like, Lovecraft Country?
No, not that. Not even for your butt.
Not even for my butt.
Not even for my butt. But yeah, this was really kind of tone deaf in my opinion, and it doesn't make any sense to be propping up someone like him. And then he even the writing reinforces his choices, because, you know, he goes on to tell Paperboy this story. He said that, you know, he was just steeped in anger. You know, like you know, he no longer dislikes Black people. No. And then at the point where Paperboy was like, oh, okay, it's okay if you no longer dislike Black people. And he was just like, oh, I can't stand any of you. You tried to get my career canceled. And then he says, you know, essentially the best and the worst part about being white is that you don't have to learn from anything if you don't want to.
See, and that's what I'm saying. Like, he's clearly, this is a statement about whiteness and like the ability to do what you did, say what you did, yeah, like vocalize it proudly, and then still get a job, you know? Right. And like, okay, maybe that's why he used Liam Neeson, but you didn't have to. You could use a Liam Neeson type, as far as I'm concerned. And it's true. Like, Louis C.K. just won a Grammy.
Yeah.
He sure did. He just won a Grammy. And it's like
for a comedy.
Right. A comedy and it's like, record. It's like you don't have to learn from things sometimes when you have certain levels of privilege.
Right.
And so that's what I'll say about that.
It's disheartening. it's a disheartening middle to this episode, the U-shaped episode. Like a good beginning and a good ending, but the middle was not so great. So then, just after he hears this, Paperboy also hears Lorraine. She kind of just pops up back into the spotlight just as they're about to introduce New Jazz as their musical interlude, I guess. So then Lorraine tells Paperboy that he has family handling his business. They emerge outside, by the way, and it's like daytime again. So the night has passed. Lorraine tells Paperboy that you have family handling your business, that you just have people around telling you what you want to hear, but that Paperboy should trust her. And they kind of start to have this back and forth a bit. And then all of a sudden she tells him, you can't move. Your legs don't work. Your arms, they don't work. And then Lorraine, this is the part at which it became a horror movie, like a body horror to me. Just being able to tell someone that their limbs don't work and then all of a sudden they don't. Paperboy collapses down to the ground. And we kind of see that he is that goofy figure who was sobbing earlier in the episode before Darius and Paperboy walked past him. So everything started to collapse in on itself in this drug trip.
Yeah, he had a moment where, and it happens from what I understand, that, you know, you start to lose control a little bit of, you know, the trip. It is too much for you. You start to panic. You get kind of paranoid. I mean, he spent most of this episode yelling after Lorraine, who, as you said later on, we find out is just thoughts of his mother, you know, his mom's name. So just imagine Paperboy. This famous rapper wandering the streets of Europe, yelling his mom's name, you know, that's essentially what we just saw, wearing a goofy hat, you know, and then like next thing you know, he's in the corner shaking and he can't breathe. He's basically having a panic attack until he collapses. That is the story. That is the episode we just watched. And if you think about it like that, it is kind of scary. It's kind of sad, but you know, that's what hallucinogens and certain drugs do sometimes. And so he had a moment. I mean, I think had he made it to the spa, he might have been a little bit safer.
Yeah, he really should have had someone. This is the perfect time to have security, you know, so they can just kind of shepherd you to where you need to go. Why are you walking to this place, you know?
Right. And it was one of his insecurities that came out. I mean, as he's wandering the streets, he's saying like, Darius, I don't want to go down this alley. I don't have security. Are you going to be my security? And then Darius, who he's following behind, who is also under the influence, disappears. And it's Paperboy, maybe don't let Darius lead you places when he's under the influence of hallucinogens.
Yeah. So never follow a hippie to a second location. We all know that. Amen.
Unless I'm the hippie, in which case, come on. And so, hey, come on. Just come on. Just come on with me. Come on. Just trust me. I promise. Come on. So that's where we end up. We end up with Paperboy having a moment, and it was sad to see, but also you kind of signed up for it.
Yeah, I, you know, he should know enough about himself to know whether or not he should be doing hallucinogens. That's mm-hmm. that's my two cents. Like, got you it. Know thyself. Yeah, so the whole episode, he's been talking to his mom. This is something that we kind of get. We get the first crisis, episode we have with Paperboy when he's in the woods and, you know, just trying to grapple with his mother's death then. And we see another episode this season where he's doing the same, just grappling with maybe a different kind of image of his mom. So, yes, this didn't really forward the plot. Do you see any of this, like, helping to... I guess the only thing that we do learn is that he does actually have ownership of his masters, that Earn actually has been looking out for him. So do you see this as, in the last few episodes arc, as kind of like Earn coming up in the world, like getting better at his job over time, ultimately knowing what the right thing is to do for the people he manages?
Yeah, I think so. I think, like I've said before a ton of times, that Earn is bad at his job. Like, there's just mistakes that he makes that you're like, you would not be my manager anymore. It's just like, you can't do it. But there, he has moments of brilliance.
Right.
And there, and even just moments of common sense. You know, like, we've always known that Earn is very sharp. He just, like, his work ethic is questionable. he makes bad decisions, but he's very smart. And so I think, like, for him, getting your own masters is something that he just knows to do. It's something that Paperboy wouldn't have even thought to ask about until he was on this trip. But I think to use this whole episode to just say Earn is getting better at his job, like I want there to be something else there. So I don't know if it has something to do with maybe it's the story of Paperboy becoming a fully fledged artist and dealing with the fact that he is now a rapper. Right. Cause remember he's saying, I don't like rappers. I'm not a rapper, all this other stuff. But then by the end, he's like, do I own my own masters? You know, like, right. Like, am I new jazz? You know, he started to ask the questions of like, am I being exploited? And then he's asking his mom this, you know, and this is not the first time we've seen his mom, as you said. So I question, like, if his mom popping up is that person that's supposed to be helping him move forward, you know, and challenge himself to, you know, kind of step out of this role of like, I'm just here rapping to make money and maybe like I'm becoming a more full person. We also really don't explore a lot about how he feels about his mom. And right. So, like, I think we're supposed to glean that from these moments, you know, the moments in the woods and the moment with Lorraine here, you know, telling him he looks dumb with his hat. I mean, like I said, that's something my mom would do. She would tell me your hat looks. She would tell you stop talking like that. She'd tell you not to let these people use you. Do you have control of your own money? Like, this is the mom playbook. They're supposed to be there to do that. And LaTanya, we are recording this on Mother's Day of all days. Yeah, and so I think it's very fitting that's kind of put the episode brings to light. Now, I'm sure, you know, as you know, the episode dropped days ago, but our podcast will drop today.
Yeah, no, this was a Mother's Day special. You heard it here first.
Yeah.
All right. I think that might be it for the episode, unless you have something else that you want to talk about.
No, I did read something interesting. When you brought up the minstrel show question about Goofy, I did read something in Vulture, and I want to credit the author, Atlanta Recap, called Cakewalk by Jordan Talia McDonald. And it says, the dance known as the cakewalk, which first emerged on a slave plantation in the U.S., South in the mid-19th century, refers to a processional promenade that merges musicality and mimicry. On some occasions, the dance would be executed during prize walks judged by slaveholders, where a cake would be awarded to the best dancer. A black dance that privileged fluidity and poise, the cakewalk in time would be integrated into minstrel shows to be danced by white and black performers alike. In his 1963 book, Blues People, Negro Music in White America, Amitri Baraka, then known as Leroy Jones, wrote of the cakewalk and asked, if the cakewalk is a Negro dance caricaturing certain white customs, what is that dance when, say, a white theater company attempts to satirize it as a Negro dance? So, Yeah. I thought that was very interesting of a way to start their article. They end up recapping it as well. But it asked the question, you know, like, if this is a black dance, you know, that is supposed to be making fun of white stuff, what is that dance when a white company decides to satire it using a black dance? And so maybe, just maybe, that is why we got to see Chet Hanks and why we have to see Liam Neeson, because it's kind of like playing on that idea that we're satiring this using the thing that is satiring it. And so is it even still satire if it's the people who we were satiring in the first place?
I feel like a lot of satire has died.
Oh yeah, I think it's gone. You know?
But yeah,
people like to hide their satire and like just like it's like thinly veiled like racism or just like it's crude, mm-hmm. but we say it's satire because it made us laugh. But it's still the same things we've been avoiding this whole time. And I think that might be what that passage was saying.
Yeah, avoiding conversations. I mean, one thing about the cakewalk that's interesting is that, at least as far as to when I was going to school, they still very much did the cakewalk, like at school fairs. It was a literal cakewalk. Like you would walk around the circle. Yeah, like musical chairs. And I won a cake one year.
Look at you, Latonya.
Look at me. I had no idea at the time that it came from that. You know,
I was today years old when I found out that pound cake was rooted in minstrel shows.
That's why it tasted off.
It was store-bought.
Yeah, it was definitely store-bought. Well, there we go, people. We've recapped this episode. We did it.
Latonya, there are two more episodes in this season of Atlanta. What is happening? Like, what are we doing here?
I don't know. I'm not sure what the end game is supposed to be. I don't know what the strategic concept was for this season. Mm-hmm. I feel like this has been a collection of episodes taken from, you know, the life and times of these people, but I don't feel like this is a cohesive season.
I don't know if I know that yet, because there have been strong themes about like our past as black people and like racial issues throughout the season that I don't know we had prior. Like, I know we talked about race, but I don't know if we ever really looked into stuff as deep as reparations or, you know, no. like cakewalk, you know, like I really feel like appropriation, even just like gentrification in that one episode. Like, I really feel like there's something there. And before we podcast the last episode, I'm gonna go watch them all and try to find the through line. So they're like, when you, me, and Mari watch the finale and say, what was that? I can say, ha, I got it. Because
you're
gonna
come up with a unifying theory. Great,
I think so. I think that's my goal, because I really wanted to know what the story of this season was. I'm feeling like it's right there, but I can't touch it yet. And so I'm hoping that within the next episode or the final episode, we find out what that is. But I don't know what any of this means for Paperboy's career moving forward. Like, I thought that was what the show was about Irm as a manager, and we've barely seen any of that.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Well, if you want to talk to us, or find even more in-depth discussion about Atlanta, you can do so by signing up for our Patreon to support Post Show Recaps, to support its podcasters, so that we can continue to bring you great content like this. And then you actually have the opportunity to get your episodes a little bit earlier than the greater public. So you can go to patreon.com/postshowrecaps and sign up. I think anywhere above the $10 level gets you access to all of our Discord shenanigans that we have going on over there. You can also check us out on your own feed. A lot of people have asked about having its own feed, just because there are so many shows that we cover on the main feed. So you can find us at postshowrecaps.com/AtlantaPod. Plug that into your podcatcher of choice. And do not forget to leave us 5-star ratings and those glorious reviews that I think we deserve. Give us all the ratings, please. All the 5-star ratings. You can also send us feedback at Atlanta@postshowrecaps.com. That's Atlanta@postshowrecaps.com if you have feedback for us. All right, Chappelle, tell us where people can find you this week.
I have been taking a break from podcasting for several days, so right now I don't have anything fresh out for you. But Nothing But Netflix is coming soon. Rob and I are going to record tomorrow our latest episode, Nothing But Netflix. Our last episode was about a French movie called Nothing to Hide. And when I tell you, it was wild. So please go subscribe to Nothing to Hide. Well, Nothing But Netflix. So listen to Rob and I talk about Nothing to Hide because it was crazy. But Big Brother Canada is gone right now. So you're not going to hear from me over there. Survivor's wrapping up. I might pop in for something like that. But as usual, you can find me here on Post Show Recaps covering The Walking Dead. We are talking about Fear the Walking Dead. Myself, Jessica Lease, AJ Mask, and Josh Wiggler. And so if you want to keep up with all the things that I am doing, all the podcasting, just follow me on Twitter at Chappelle's_show. And follow me on Instagram if you want to at ChappelleTNT.
All right. You can follow me on Instagram at LK Starks. You can follow me on Twitter at LK Starks. You can follow me on Instagram at Stormborn1222. I am making my return to the Top Chef podcast this week, which I'm excited about. As we talked about just like all things NASA challenge. I will also be on an upcoming episode of the Purple Pants podcast that you all should look forward to. It's my first time on that podcast with Bryce, and we had a wonderful time talking about Heartstopper, the Netflix show. So I know that we have a post show recap show that covers that program on an episode by episode basis, but you can also listen to what Bryce and I had to say. We do a full spoilers review. So yeah, thank you all for coming to our TED Talks about race and music. You can find us right here back next week. So until then, everybody be safe and hell, sign us out.
Until then, until next week, for LaTanya, for Mari, and myself, peace.